I was just going to go through the running order of things today, do some introductions, and a brief launch into this field of discussion on activists or managers and activists, trends in human resources in civil society today. Then I'll talk for about 15 minutes. Jen will follow me, who's presenting after a mammoth effort, a significant piece of research on trends in employment in particularly community services in Australia. And then we'll be Jen, for those who don't know her, soon to be Dr. Jenny Green, who's just got 3-1s for her PhD thesis. And this is her topic. She's in the School of Management, and together we coordinate the Master's Program for Community Management, which is focused on non-profit management. And we also would like to welcome Ran Jiang Jiang, who is the youngest to be appointed to the level of Associate Professor at Shanghai TV University. Ran tells me that there are 100,000 students at Shanghai TV University, and it started out a bit like our open university through distance mode, but now 50,000 are face-to-face and the rest do it by distance mode. And he's here at University of Sydney as a visiting scholar with the Faculty of Social Work and Education, and also has a relationship with their business faculties, and he's doing some research here. And Ran will talk for about half an hour, but then we hope to really turn it into more of a panel discussion, in particular between Jenny Green and Ran, as I won't be here, but, you know, in spirit, because my mother will kill me because my kids will drive her insane if I... And so, in particular, hopefully we can really flesh out some of the key contrasts and even similarities between the motivations of workers in this sector, in the Chinese setting, and of course in the Australian sector. But first, an ad. Ta-da! Our book, Kyung Jo and I, and Hae-yong Chang and Rachel Wilson, we've written a book on sex trafficking. I reckon with that first name, we should sell a few copies, the first word. We should show up. And that's our cover, and it's coming out in a few weeks' time. But it's a study that we've been doing on interviewing, in particular, Korean nationals working in the Australian sex and entertainment industry, and looking at their motivations and issues, and also issues for policymakers. And we call it shadow tourism because of the situation, probably a good thing, but anyway, the situation being that technically Koreans can work legally as prostitutes in Australia because they can come on a working holiday visa, and prostitution is decriminalised. So it makes it quite an attractive destination. But then we look at some other issues where they fall through the gaps as far as services and protection and so on goes. So that's our book. Sorry.
And you'll be bringing a copy in for the CCS...
Well, I'm hoping CCS buys a copy and their budget. And, you know, I've heard some funds, extra funds have come in, so I'll be giving you the link to the purchase. Right.
Goes around
the country. Oh, yeah. Right. I'll sign. It'll be autographed, though. Kyung Jo and I will. Okay. So, from activists to managers, trends in human resources in the third sector. Jenny Onyx, Jenny Green, myself, we're really all coalescing around a broader narrative, which is the challenges of commercialisation and marketisation of the activities of civil society organisations, in particular those that deliver community services. And what are some of the challenges that throws up in terms, in particular, for staying focused on mission? So Jenny Onyx and I have done ARC-funded research on... its implications for advocacy, you know, given the absolutely crucial role that non-profits play in the maintenance, and civil society generally, in the maintenance of the health of our democracy, that they can provide voice to the voiceless, they can seek policy change, they can be cheeky and they can be restless and ensure that it pushes away encroachment of the state into, you know, the sphere of human activity. So it's a big role to play, yet how this drivers behind demanding a more commercialised, corporatised model of service delivery can create real tensions and real issues for civil society to maintain that capacity to be an agent of democratisation. Jenny has been looking, as I said, at the issues it throws up for recruitment and then also in turn what it means for mission. Where I've also done research on the new movement of non-profits into for-profit making business ventures, and in fact a real sense that that is the orthodox de rigueur thing to do is to set up a business, which has actually contained real risk factors when they're using donations to fund a money-making operation for which they mightn't have any background in, and if the money-making operation falls down, it encroaches it. There's a lot of dilemmas that are associated with this whole new orthodoxy of let's go commercial. So here I've tried to summarise kind of some of the drivers and trends that we see and that Jenny will be talking about more specifically. So we're looking at this corporatisation, marketisation of human services. The whole idea that funding is now quasi-voucher markets where you receive money from the government per client you treat, per child in a childcare centre, per old person, per job placement. So it really is about creating churn and volume rates, which has huge implications if you're about reaching the most vulnerable, because you cannot deliver high churn and serve the most vulnerable. There is a contradiction within that. And put this up under the broader rubric of a new fascination, particularly in public administration, with a term NPM, new public management, which is the idea that those playing in the market, the corporate sector, hold all the answers. They are the most efficient. We have to learn from them. It's in a sense a bit of an inferiority complex, I think, but nevertheless, new public management has been embraced by governments throughout the world, including our own, and that has driven a new funding regime and a new accountability regime. The funding I've mentioned, which is tied to quasi-market systems of funding, not just giving a grant to a non-profit anymore, and the accountability regime is tying whether you get that money to behaving in very, very detailed, micromanaged ways to government requirements. It's an upward accountability. It's not accountability back down to clients or supporters or constituencies. It's an upward accountability, which is really requiring non-profits as much as possible to adopt this new public management and embrace it, and indeed start to look as much as they, to look as quite similar to government itself. And that process of sameness, of organisations starting to look the same, known as isomorphism, which has been studied by people in the sector. So now, just to mention that also driving this in the Australian context is increasing reliance in the community service sector for most of their funds from government. And also, as Jenny will say, maybe a change in the employment profile within some organisations. So we say the combined effects could be, and this is the debate today, whether even though they have their roots in social movements or new social movements, I shouldn't have just said new because women's movement and so on, and even the labour movement, as well, of course, environment and so on, whether we're breaking away from the mothership, the social movement that gave these organisations their mission and raison d'etre, and really becoming, turning into, leaving that collective decision-making, democratic, grassroots-based form to becoming a more hierarchical, bureaucratic, suit-wearing, MBA-trained, quasi-government department. Before I hand over to Jen, I'll just show you, because these figures have been updated recently, these are 2007-2008 figures. But these two, the point of these two slides is, first of all, to really understand and put and press to you all the diversity of organisations within civil society or within the third sector. Because many people just think from their own industry. And when I talk to our students in community management who are service deliveries, they think civil society or third sector equals community services. When I talk to Eva Cox's old class and talk to people in the arts faculty, they think of civil society as just activist organisations. So one has a very welfare-oriented view of the sector, another one has a very activist view of the sector. Well, it's both, and it's mixed, and there's a lot in here, and this sort of gives you an idea. But those activist organisations really fall within this smaller area, but they're absolutely the drivers in terms of political contribution of the sector. So that gives you an idea of the breadth, and this is where the money goes. How they earn their money. I mentioned that there's a significant reliance compared to other countries on government grants, 34%. This is very interesting. Australia's very high on the revenue earned from sales of goods and services. What do you reckon most of that is? Where's that? What goods or services are non-profits or civil society organisations? Yeah, fees from private schools, membership dues are quite significant. There's one thing that makes Australia a bit different, though, than one-armed bandits, the RSLs and the poker machine. Which creates dilemmas in itself. In fact, it's quite good because it creates a lot of work for the community service people. So they're keeping each other in a job.
Symbiotic relationship.
Yes, that's... I mean, in fact, a lot of community services are funded by that gambling fund, whatever it is, the Public Interest Benefit Fund, and even that in itself is quite strange. All right, so I'll just quickly... hand over to Jenny because she's the one who's done the research and I'm just echoing her findings, really. But some of the other scholars in the field have looked at what drives people to drive in the sector, and it ain't money. This is the summary of it.